standing by. Can you
do a clap, please?
Yes. Take one.
Hey everyone at Good Life, I am honoured to share with you just a couple of thoughts today on rest and restoration. Let me start by saying that each and every one of us have got one of these. I call it our frustration tank or our stress bucket. Now, it's important to note that we've all got a level of stress. However, as our days and weeks start filling up with busyness and the pressures of life, you know, as deadlines start to loom or as critical incidents occur ranging from, I don't know, I've got to get the car serviced to unexpected bills, illness, or even relationship tension, well, of course, our frustration levels start to rise. However, there is a line at the top, which is a little bit like the line on the kettle where you boil water or the line on the iron that you put water in when you're ironing your clothes. It's the line that indicates do not fill past this point, because if your stress levels exceed this, you enter into what we call the moron zone, which essentially means you have taken more on than what you can handle. And now you start running the risk of spilling out and over onto other people. Now, if your stress levels enter into this no-go zone and your issues are unresolved over time, in other words, if your stress is too much, occurs too often, or goes on for too long, well, your stress turns into distress, and ease turns into not only dis-ease, but can also manifest as disease. And that's why taps are so important. So taps help release or relieve the tension or the frustration. Taps are a little bit like the pressure valves that reduce the pressure so that you can, well, I don't know, fill up with stress again? Look, taps come in the form of exercise, in the form of a good night's rest, maybe like a weekend getaway or a family holiday, maybe even a trip to the spa, or it can be as routine as taking a weekly Sabbath. It's interesting because in the Old Covenant, the penalty for breaking the Sabbath was death. But in the New Covenant, nothing's changed because, well, if you break the Sabbath, you break yourself. Look, if you've got no taps, no release valve, no margin, well, how does the saying go? All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10 puts it like this. If the axe is dull and you don't sharpen the edge, well, you gotta use more strength, but wisdom brings success. And what's the wisdom that we need in this equation? Well, to sharpen the axe, of course, and that's what Sabbath does. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease, to end, or to just simply rest. Rest serves to recharge, restore, renew, and even revive us. It's funny because the greeting that you would give someone on Shabbat would, of course, be Shabbat Shalom. Shalom meaning peace, and peace is the proposed purpose of Sabbath. Sabbath, it's the discipline of taking a pit stop along the racetrack of life. Now, of course, for some people, to take a pit stop, that means I'm going to recover from the laps that I've taken, whereas for others, taking a pit stop will be to prepare for the laps that are yet to come. But no pit stop, no petrol to fuel your way forward. That's why John Mark Comer, author of The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says that a Sabbath is to the spirit of restfulness what soccer practice is to a match. In other words, one assists the other in being more successful. By taking a Sabbath, we're preparing for what matters most, life. Walter Brueggemann, he says that people who keep Sabbath live all 7 days differently. Now, especially if you're experiencing significant pressure, well, Sabbath has an amazing way of helping you shift from being on the verge of breakdown to breaking through in your life. Look, in a pandemic-gripped world, there's no shortage of pressure. There's, of course, financial pressure. We've got relationship pressure and even government and peer pressure to conform to certain social norms, even if they go against your conscience. But look, whenever we feel like we're under pressure, whatever is on the inside has a way of being exposed. In other words, when we are squeezed, whatever is already on the inside is gonna come out. If there was ever anybody in history who would have felt just a little bit of pressure, I reckon a young man named Daniel who lived in the 1700s, he would be a great candidate. Now, Daniel came from a very famous family in Switzerland, a family of academics, and by the way, not just any old academics, these were highly intelligent mathematicians. You see, Daniel's father, Jean in French, or Johannes in German, he helped to invent calculus. And not only that, but his uncle Jacques in French, or Jakob in German, he founded the theory of probability. And now young Daniel was at university studying, you guessed it, mathematics. But because his father and uncle had such epic world-changing accomplishments, needless to say, Daniel was under a little bit of under pressure, like all eyes were on Danny boy. I mean, your dad did this, your uncle did this. Daniel, what are you gonna do? He was under such incredible pressure to come up with something amazing, and there's nothing like a little bit of pressure, as we said before, to put the squeeze on us to see what comes out. And you know what came out of Daniel Bernoulli? Well, he went on to study physics and the mathematics of pressure. That's right. Specifically, he studied hydromechanics and discovered a principle that we famously call in physics now Bernoulli's principle. Do you actually remember learning that in school? Look, if you've never heard Bernoulli's principle before, let me just paraphrase it for you. It's the basic observation that as velocity increases, there's an associated change in pressure. Now, it's long been stated this is actually how aeroplanes stay in the sky. As velocity increases, the pressure above the aeroplane is low, and underneath it, it remains high, lifting the plane up into the sky. But Daniel is also famous for discovering another lesser-known principle called the Venturi effect. Not to be confused with the Ace Ventura effect. That would be a whole other effect. The Venturi effect is a phenomena that occurs when an inviscid flow of a non-conducting fluid varies in velocity or pressure is changed. Like, did you get it? I'm guessing that probably flew right over your head, pretty much like it did mine the first time that I heard it. So if you didn't understand it, let me unpack it for you real quick. Because if you can actually grasp this, you will be in a much better position to make the best, even out of bad situations. Are you ready? Let me draw it for you. The Venturi effect works a little bit like this. If we had a pipe, and we had water in this pipe, but then all of a sudden the pipe became constricted, and this whole volume of water will now have to go through this confined space. Well, of course, the velocity of the water is going to have to increase in speed. The question that I have is, what will happen to the pressure of the water? Perhaps you even remember when you were young playing with the garden hose, wanting to spray your brother or your sister or your neighborhood friends. Maybe you would have put your thumb over the end of the hose so as to constrict the space even further, and now the water would be flowing even faster. Well, you would have felt the pressure right there against your thumb. So let me ask you again, does the pressure increase or does it decrease? Well, according to the Venturi effect, in order for the water to flow faster, the pressure in the water has to decrease. That's right. In other words, the molecules inside the water actually have to relax in order for them to be flexible enough to flow even faster. This principle, if you can understand it, it applies in your relationship lives, it applies in your work and your study lives, it will apply in your financial life. In fact, it even applies in your spiritual life. You see, here's the principle. The slower you go, the faster you'll get there. That's why whenever there is an emergency, the very first thing that the emergency services personnel announces, ladies and gentlemen, please remain calm. Now, please note, remaining calm is not a feeling. It's an activity. The announcement did not say, ladies and gentlemen, please feel calm because there's an emergency. No, you don't feel calm when there's an emergency. You need to take action. You need to get out of the building that's on fire. You need to get out of that airplane that just crash landed on the water before it sinks. But the method by which we exit the building or the plane is the activity or the behavior of calm. And the slower you go, the faster you'll get there. It's the same principle that firefighters have to apply when facing emergencies. Now, I think it's pretty fair to say that of all professions, firefighters are some of the most courageous people on the planet. Because instead of running away from the fire, they run towards the fire. But these guys, have you ever noticed, they're so relaxed in the way in which they respond to emergencies because, well, they understand the pressure-related principle. Emergency services personnel, they're trained to respond to crisis with calm. To achieve this, they don't rely on their own understanding, rather they take a course of action that's already been predetermined, and then they rehearse it until it becomes second nature. Now, please note, second nature is not human nature. Rather, it's the replacement of human impulse with careful consideration that over time becomes automatic. Now, I know that some of you are still sitting there thinking, kind of like, what on earth does any of this have to do with Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, will rivers of living water will flow from within them." So if you want to flow like the Venturi effect, if you want to have the courage of a firefighter to respond to crisis with calm, well, Jesus, he doesn't just show us the way. He is the way. You see, Sabbath, it's not just a day of rest. It's not just the discipline of remaining calm in crisis, like, you know, being asleep on a boat in the midst of a storm. But true rest is found in Jesus. In three of the four Gospels, Jesus declares himself to be Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So as disciples of Jesus, we don't just learn about him, we imitate him. In other words, our goal is to become Christ-like. Jesus, you might kind of notice when reading the Gospels, well, he experiences many challenges, but he never freaks out. He's always calm. For example, when angry men brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery to him and demanded her execution, well, Jesus is just kind of like, yeah, sure, like, go ahead. So whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone, and he calmly diffused the ticking time bomb. And even when he received an SOS to say that his best friend Lazarus was dying and that he should come quickly, did Jesus hurry? Nope. He just kind of pulled off a conda frodera and said, couple of days. You see, Jesus, he understood that the slower you go, the faster you get there. And that's why I'm guessing that everywhere he went, he walked. Even when it came to crossing the Galilee, Jesus, he just walked on the water. Jesus is the author, the creator, and the inventor of course, the Venturi effect. And so when it comes to dealing with our own stresses and pressures in life, well, we would do well to learn from the master. Remember, people who observe, cherish, and prioritize Sabbath live all 7 days differently. By taking a Sabbath, we are preparing for what matters most. And what matters most? Life. Which leads us to our final verse for today. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 to 10. From the Message paraphrase, it says something along the lines of, "Seize life, eat bread with gusto, drink wine with a robust heart." Oh wait, sorry, Baptist Church. I mean, "Drink sanitarium grape juice with a robust heart. Yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. So dress festively every morning. Don't skimp out on colors and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift for you. In fact, it's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. So make the most of each day. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it. And do it heartily. In fact, this is your last and only chance at it, for there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think when you're dead. So seize the day." Wishing you an epic Sunday.
Okay. Nice. I'm glad we did that all in one go. That was good.